Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Pasha, who is here to speak with us about a very fun project he's recently undertaken. Welcome, Pasha.
Oh, hi, Jen. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. And you?
Great. Good to hear your voice loud and clear.
Yes, well, I can say likewise, and I think that's exactly what we're going to hear more about just now.
So, yes.
You were, to set the context a tiny bit, you were recently with us as a visiting monk, and from what I understand, as you were here, an idea started to present itself to you, to which you decided to say yes, and it all followed from there.
Yes. We are there every morning participating in Project Joy, and every Tuesday, as today, participating in open air, listening to the shows. And it's such a wonderful experience to be with the whole Sangha, even you are at the monastery, being in silence.
Yes, it really is. It's extraordinary, isn't it? To get to be kind of at the hub of practice, as we sometimes say, and then to get to be participating in those far-flung practice opportunities, you know, being with Sherry and Ashwini every morning, being with Michael and Sherry every Tuesday. Yep.
Yes, and it's such a such an included participation. As we are sitting in the meditation hall, listening for those shows, and being on the call, it's especially wonderful because we are sitting in a group and listening to the same call, and it's just such a I project people are there right now, and I just want to say hello all of them.
You're absolutely right, and I'm sure they're smiling and making a show as we speak. I'll be joining them in just a minute.
yes, wonderful. It's such a opportunity to be with everybody and every caller there, and we are listening through this what's it called?
Speaker.
Yeah, so the speaker through and it was a boombox kind of speaker, and for a few times it was a challenge for me to hear the callers clearly, and
I think you're not alone in that, Pasha. That's what we would call a spiritual opportunity, right?
Yeah.
There we are listening, riveted, right? Every word. What's Jerry saying? What's the participant saying? And there are these places where you suddenly can't hear, and not because the signal has gone out, but that the audio on it, it's such an interesting thing, and maybe you'll say more about this, but where maybe that same speaker could broadcast music to a whole, you know, festival, something about spoken word, it easily gets distorted.
Yes, because those I think those speakers mostly are designed for music and have bass to it. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Bass
that that amplifies music, and it's great for the party, but it's sometimes harder to hear participants as the sound gets muffled. And the first few times I thought I was alone in there because the conditioning would say, well, that's because your English is not your first language and everybody's here is fine. But then, as you said, taking this as a spiritual opportunity and then writing a note to guest master, well, I'm not going to be alone with the voices. I want to go with communication and just, here's my experience, and I offer that to the guest master. And I heard also that also other people's experience. So even English native speakers have hard time understanding what it's saying as such a through such a speaker. So that sparkled the idea of well, let's get another speaker. And there were several kind of ideas following that, you know, what could it be? I had one speaker on the retreat there, but that was kind of in the same, maybe a little bit better kind of thing, because nowadays that's what they used mostly. And when I get home, I did the research and find out, wow, it's actually hard to find a speaker that is designed for speech. They're all designed for the music and the bass in the music. So yes, that's how it started.
Yes. You know, Pasha, there's already so many things in there to underline, right? So that place of, okay, I'm having this experience, and just about with every experience we have, what's the first go-to places for the voices? Oh, well, you're the only one. There's something wrong with you. Right? Yeah. It's because of, and then it just finds some reason that will seem plausible. Because your English isn't that good.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the one you're going to believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at it and think, well, I don't have to get stopped by that. And then, of course, one of the huge things we look at in, especially monastic practice, but throughout practice, is communication is the key. Communication makes everything work. So it drops in. Let me communicate. And through that communication, you're able to discover, I'm not the only one. So then the other piece of it I love is that then it occurs to you, instead of just, oh, okay, well, I guess we all can't hear, then it occurs to you, well, you know what? I'm going to look into that. And then you begin to investigate. It's such a perfect example of practice.
Yes, and speaking of practice, what else stopped on that way was my past experience of, I had another opportunity, I think maybe years before, trying to fix things in the monastery or improve them, and going with conditioned mind, you know, what's wrong with this monastery and how it needs to be improved. And so this time I was, okay, I know that familiar place, and I'm just checking, and I made a few recordings about, like, am I going the same route, or is this opportunity to participate, not just you know, going around and fixing things?
Gosh, another amazing one. That you're aware of the karma that follows you around, and so you're looking at, is this that same familiar place? And then what you do, if I'm understanding what you said, what you do to explore that is you record and listen. Wow.
Yes.
I mean, that's so, talk about taking responsibility for our own practice and practice in general. Taking that first step to check in with the mentor. Is this the same thing? Because I'm, you know, I really have an interest here, but it's also quite familiar, so let me just check this out.
Yes, yes. And also communicating with a guest master, and finding that there is a need, and guest master expressed the willingness to you know, try other, you know, options and speakers, and then it was an exciting project of participating and having the fun with that. Another new thing was for me in this project was not being afraid of a failure kind of thing, that, you know, like, I'm here, I'm participating, and it might not work, but it's not going to stop me, I'm still going to give my best, and I'm learning a lot of new things. This is, I'm not like a speaker maker, I've never done this before. And it's such an opportunity to be open for, you know, what's next in life. You know, what I'm open for the guidance in life, on opens the doors and shows the ways, and things unfold in such a new, fresh, unpredictable way.
Yes, exactly. So I'm not an expert in this, but that doesn't matter. What does that have to do with anything, right?
Yeah.
I have the curiosity, I have the interest, and I project a deep level of care into what you're describing, right? That love of being in the in the monastery, in the hall, and listening to those calls, and wanting that experience for people to be as clear as it can be. And
yep.
So from that place, that willingness to just, well, let me find out. Let me just see. Gather all the information and that part about just what's now, life, right? What's the guidance now? And just keep following that track.
Yes. Another thing I love to participate in the monastery projects, because it's a thing allows me to be with the Sangha and do something for the Sangha, and it's just such a deep connection. So and it's something I feel like I'm part of. I'm included, and maybe next year, if everything works out, I'll be there again to benefit from it in person. So
exactly.
it's such a wonderful. So I'm grateful for this opportunity to participate and be included and do something, and also brings up this next project of participating with Africa Vulnerable Children Project, which I also want to do as opportunity to be again with Sangha and yeah. together we can do yeah. big things.
Yeah. Oh, it's so mm-hmm. true, Pasha. Yeah. So well put. I have goosebumps mm-hmm. as you're talking mm-hmm. because that's exactly what I was seeing too. Is it just that process of participation? That's mm-hmm. the thing that makes it so clear to us that, of course, I belong. You know, mm-hmm. all of it, to all of it. And that it can be so easy for the voices to bamboozle us that we don't if we're not yeah. participating. Of course, we still are. But that yeah. active participation, that saying yes to when that little idea drops in, you know, each way along the way, you said mm-hmm. yes. And then mm-hmm. The monastery gets this beautiful speaker. Everyone who's sitting in that meditation hall, including right this very minute, gets mm-hmm. the clarity of the speech. And then you get to have that wonderful experience of participation and belonging.
Yes, and clarity of a speech comes as a bonus, as a cherry on
yes.
top of the cake. As you know, I'm getting fulfilled just as this project unfolds. I yes. get to meet and interact with 8 different people. Like last time I checked, mm-hmm. there's as I don't know how to go around it. I'm asking, mm-hmm. and people are asking, what's that for? And then I start to explain, and people at my work, they knew I was absent for months, so they knew where I was going, and so for them was one more thing that they helping in mm-hmm. Wow, mm-hmm. this somebody is going there for months and being in silence. It must be worthy and must be something special. So I feel like I'm also including these people, and they're included with me, and we are together as this thing unfolds and having fun and interaction. Yeah. And yeah.
Oh my gosh, Pasha. If we had another hour, I
would.
Sorry. We could just go on and on. Because you're
yeah.
right, the benefits of it are just, they abound. Mm. But we are indeed up against the hour, so I just want to say thank you so much for
thank
being
you.
With us today, laying out that process, being so clear about it, being such an example of what's available to us when we're present, when we're just here in each moment, following life's guidance. And of course, thank you for the beautiful speaker that I'll be listening through in just a few minutes.
Thank you so much, Deep Gasho.
All right, Ingasho. Thank you, Pasha. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Pasha, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How fun was that?
That was really fun. That was great.
It was kind of, it was like a whole little Dharma explanation along with a speaker.
Yes,
You know, why we do what we do and how we do what we do and what motivates us and what we get out of it and what the blessings are. And it was all right there, plus the speaker.
Yes. Yes, it was. And as you say that, what I see is that I heard the process and the content, and they were each clearly delineated, so I could see how they related.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And every step, the communication, how quickly the voices will say, well, it's just you, and it's because of this, and this is what's wrong with you, and here's another example. And instead of saying, well, no, I think I want to communicate about this, because, and then we find out it's a whole different thing, and then there's the way for us to participate and to make a difference, and, oh, it's just beautiful.
Yes. Yes, yes, yeah. Exactly. And I hear myself saying at work with some regularity, communication is what's going to save us. And that's what I heard in our conversation as well. Because as long as I'm communicating and I'm not blaming people or coming from something wrong, I really can't go wrong. You know,
no.
I noticed this and I'm just curious if this part of the building is supposed to be on fire or if
right. I don't want to assume. I don't want to assume, so I'm just going to be open to, exactly so. I was just in that conversation with somebody recently because, of course, ego has all this stuff about communication, most of it being pointed at with what Pasha was talking about. That's the way it keeps us small and isolated. And if you're going to be communicating, well, that somehow takes away from your autonomy and your ability to be a whole grown-up person and, you know, all this stuff that has nothing to do with, it might be really helpful for people to know that part of the building is on fire. Maybe they do all know. But maybe they don't. And so what's the worst that could happen if I say something?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So helpful. And I've gotten that from practice, you know, seeing you model it and the monks and the monastery. And, you know, it just makes it really clear that communicating is a safe thing for me to do, whatever's going on.
Yeah. Yes. It's what takes care of all of us. And if somebody says, yeah, we all know that, then the response is, oh, okay, good. Now I do too. Only ego is holding out for keep your mouth shut, go off on your own, do it your own way. You don't need anybody to tell you what to, you know, all that teenage crapola is how we all get in trouble.
Yes, it is. That's my experience.
Yeah.
And I have announcements here.
All right.
Practice weekends at the monastery offer an opportunity to get away from the daily routine and deepen support for awareness practice. A practice weekend is coming up September 22nd through 24th.
Mm-hmm.
And once again,
and the weather, by the way, Michael, by the way, the weather should be extraordinary. So for anybody who wants to be there at a gorgeous time of year, this would be it.
Yes, yes. And once again, we have the opportunity to practice tuning to life's rhythms as we take care of our spiritual home at the Seasons of Joy Fall Retreat, October 3rd through 8th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. This retreat will provide training in using simple physical activity to cultivate a joyful presence and expanded awareness that makes ordinary life extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. It does. The fun of participating.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Which Pasha was just telling us about so beautifully.
Yes. And I was going to say the next item is about participation, but I realized that all of them are about.
They all are, aren't they? It's what they have in common.
Yes, it is. On October 15th, we will gather in San Francisco for the 16th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk to benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children's Project. You don't want to miss this exciting and joy-filled Sangha experience. And find out more about the Team 150K Challenge to support the Africa Project on the project's webpage at livingcompassion.org.
Yeah. I just signed up today, by the way. I got the little 3 days left and went, ugh. Okay, so I got my T-shirt. I'm hoping everybody else will get theirs too.
Yes. And Sherry, I watched the video call last Saturday morning with Africa.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh, it was electric. There's just so fabulous to see everybody live.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and, you know, Michael, along those lines, for anybody who's in the, I don't quite know how to approach this whole thing, Ashwini did, last call, she did a little presentation for her team. This was just her fundraiser thing called 11 Reasons I Love This Project or something like that. And as soon as I saw it, I said, can I use it? And and then I realized, wait a minute, I bet a lot of people would like to use this. It's just plus she wrote a letter to her people that she was inviting. I find it just completely wonderful. And it's available to us. And I don't know exactly how or where, but I bet Jen or Ashwini will let us know before this we're off of open air tonight, because it just takes all the fuss, the muss, and the bother out of communicating with people what we're doing and why we're doing it. So lots of pictures of adorable children and some statistics on the project, but it's just a little, you know, like 11 slides, and that kind of says the whole thing. So if anybody's thinking, how do I explain this to people, I encourage you to look that up and make use of it.
Great. Great. That sounds fabulous.
And it's really nice.
Good. Great.
Good. Good. Thank you.
Sure. Also, on October 15th, a new quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies begins. This program is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Recording and listening is not just for grown-ups. Youngsters have reported feeling happier, calmer, kinder, and more relaxed using this fabulous practice tool. A fun and transformative parent-child recording and listening class is starting October 23rd. Mm-hmm. Just in time for me.
Just in time. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Great things to do together. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. And it's not too early to plan for the New Year's retreat. This retreat from December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California, features meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on beautiful, spacious grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
I think we just got a message from headquarters. Did you get it?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay.
So the bridge walk is on the 14th, not the 15th.
Whoops.
Thank you for that. I know it's on the Saturday. I'm almost positive of that. And
yes,
t-shirt
I think
deadline.
You're right.
The t-shirt deadline is September 15th. And the presentation will be emailed to those who have signed up for Team 150K.
Oh, okay. So we'll get it automatically. We can use it if we choose.
Yes.
Excellent. Good.
Great. Great.
I'm just, you know, I am so in the, could somebody with more skills in these areas than I have, please just do something and then let me borrow it, please. Let me use it. So I like that. Make it as easy as possible for me. Thank you.
Yes, and it's just such a perfect example of Sangha, where we each bring our own skills and talents, and together, as Pasha demonstrated, we more than cover the waterfront.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yes, it's great. It's great. Yeah, so the Bridge Walk is on the 14th, the Saturday, October 14th.
All right, we can still sign up. We've got a couple of days to get T-shirts and burritos and all of those sorts of things, or just to get a T-shirt. You don't need a burrito if you're in Milwaukee, get a T-shirt. And people will say, oh, well, you know, I don't want a T-shirt. Well, nobody wants a T-shirt, let's face it, except when we go to retreat, then we have, you know, we have something to wear on retreat. But, you know, it's just a way to support the project, and it, you know, you wear it and people say, what the heck is that? And then you have a chance to tell somebody about the project. And now with this little slide presentation, when friends and family ask, we can say, oh, I have this little thing I can show you.
Yeah.
Show you what I'm doing. Yeah.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can express that desire by pressing *6 and then 1. That's how you make a show. And a five-minute conversation on one topic really benefits everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sherry, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael, and hi, Sherry. This is Margaret in the
Well, hello, Margaret.
Hello. I've been a little under the weather, but I've seen some really good stuff during it.
Good. It is good for retreating, isn't it? It's good meditation time.
Yeah. It is, and it's good for using those practice tips that arise on Project Joy, such as making the, I think it was, let's see, I am fine and everything is fine just as it is, recording.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was suggested on Project Joy.
Well, It was suggested to you, so, and that's all that really matters,
it was,
isn't it?
I've got to do this. And what I saw was that, like, almost within 24 hours as I was going to sleep, it's like I could almost watch sort of the dark room closing in. You know, it's sort of like somebody stepped in with some really dark room kinds of, like, things are not fine and okay. And I just caught it, like, in the first sentence. I saw it so quickly, it was just, wow, practice is amazing.
Practice works. Good for you.
It does. And I just, you know, I was so, I don't know, I'm always touched by practice. But I just felt so grateful for, you know, everything. And I too have been, I listened on my phone and watched on my phone the interaction with Cantalomba last weekend, and it was so great. I want to see more of the kids, and I guess we're going to this time, the next time, doing this.
Yes, although I think there's a rumor that I'm going to get to talk to, you know, it's hard to say one of your favorite people, but she is one of my favorite people, not just because she named one of her children for me. That has nothing to do with it, Margaret. But she is somebody who was so instrumental in getting that project going. And then, yes, I think Jen does have a plan to get more of the little people on there, the youngsters. Now they're, you know, we do still have a ton of little people, but they're growing up so quickly that we've got all those teenagers. Yeah, so
it's
fun.
Amazing, and it is really fun. And are you speaking of Josephine?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, I just thought her story would be wonderful to tell because it's so amazing.
Yeah, it's such a horrifyingly typical story.
Yeah, and so clear how Living Compassion's community there was a different place with a different mm-hmm. heart. I mean, available mm-hmm. to somebody like that, like
yes.
the helper.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And instead of just watching her children die, actually having children and watching them grow up.
Yeah.
What a difference. Yeah.
I know. And the program, the other thing I just wanted to share after being on the call and listening to Pasha and so forth, was how in trying to organize or getting organized on my project, I was talking with my main partner about fundraising with having a fundraising dinner. And,
oh, lovely.
Yeah, and we've done that in the past, and it was so much fun for me, but I realized there was something being communicated about how, so I did some reflective listening, and I discovered that my partner said, well, you know, I think if I really wanted to raise money for something, I'd go out and get a job and just raise the money and write a check. I was like, it's so helpful to know that that's how, you know, somebody in there feels. But haven't you had a really good time at our other, because that's been my experience, and, you know.
Were we both not having as much fun as I was having?
Yes, exactly. This is so enlightening, and yet I knew it, kind of. I knew that, because there's always been, like, a lot of foot dragging. But it was just so helpful to have it expressed and
mm-hmm.
And just to see that that's so much, like what Pasha was talking about, that's not what we do or why we're here to practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, with Sangha and to, you know, to transcend these kinds of, I'll just write a check and not be bothered.
Uh-huh. Yeah, not have to engage or whatever is going on, not have to address my fear or discomfort or all those kinds of things that get us stopped in life.
Yeah. And I...
All right.
Anyway, I just thank you. Thank you guys so much. It's
well, thank you, Margaret. And are you on the mend?
I am on the mend. I yes. And I look forward to seeing you soon, if not tonight.
Not okay. I have the feeling that we're having this conversation because I wasn't going to see you in an hour or so. So, all right. Will you take care of yourself?
Pass on anything? Yeah, I don't want to pass on.
Yeah. No. I'm good with that. I'm always grateful when people don't share. We want to participate and share, but not germs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So,
all right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye for now. Go on happy. With the curing. Go happy, right?
Thank you. Okay.
Thanks for joining us, Margaret. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Tony from Athens.
Well, hello,
hey, Tony.
Hey, Sherry.
What are you up to?
Well, I wanted to report on my commitment that I recently made. I'm on day 7 of a 90-day commitment.
Ah, very good.
Yes, and I'm just enjoying it so much, so I partly just am calling to keep myself going on this commitment. But my commitment is to do the two-handed recording and listening practice, once in the morning and once in the evening, every day.
So that was a challenge that Ashwini offered to people, right, or an encouragement to take a challenge to do that.
Yes.
Two-handed recording every day. Now, I thought it was for 30 days, but you are taking it to a whole new level.
Well, yes, because I just really want to do it, and 90 days seems like a good amount of time.
Get you right to the end of the year?
Yes.
Finish the year out the way you want next year to be?
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's, I'm loving it. I just love it so much.
Oh, good. I'm going to project, and tell me if this is your experience, that you feel really taken care of by this.
Yes, yes.
Listen to, heard?
Listen, yes, and the word, it's such an experience of acceptance. Like, no matter what's going on, like, sometimes it's, you know, I'm really tired, it's late at night, and I'm like, I don't know, you know, whatever I talk about, and then I, you know, practice listening, and then offer some compassion, and then get to hear it, and it just, each time, it's just such this, like, wave of relief and acceptance. Whatever, mm-hmm. whether it's something really little or something big, it's just this,
Yeah.
So,
well, you have somebody in your life who really cares about you, who
yes.
wants to listen to you and support you and take care of you, and being tired is not an obstacle to that, right? It's
well,
like I'm never too tired to be there for you. Wow, haven't we all been looking for that all of our lives?
Yes, yes, and I so enjoy that taking time to just check in. It's like, okay, what is going on right now in this moment? Just whatever. So there's these check-ins, and so I'm not at the end of the day with this pile of things I've been ignoring, that there's been some attention to different feelings or events or, you know, things conditioning tried to talk to me about. There's just some checking in and attending to these things and receiving acceptance and compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And again, as you said, you're really enjoying it and you're calling in to get support for keeping going, because
yes.
the resistance to that, now when we lay it out like that, it's like, well, how could there be any resistance to that? And, of course, ego is just doing everything that it can possibly come up with to sabotage your efforts.
Yes, even already, you know, even just in the first week.
Yep.
So, but
oh, yeah, a week is way too long.
Right?
But it's for ego, yeah.
Yeah, because it's and long enough that I'm starting to really experience the benefits and you know, really want to keep going.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I'll probably call in again before the 90 days is over and just give an update.
You call in as often as you would like. We'll track right along with you.
Oh, good. Good.
Who knows?
Thank you.
You know, there might be people listening who go, oh, that's a good idea. I want to do that too. You know, we might have a whole little team of people out there who, you know, would derive strength from knowing that other people are doing this too. And as you say, it's a life changer, isn't it?
It really is, and it can be so simple, and I do it really imperfectly, you know. I mean, I'm not, maybe
good.
I don't spend quality time, but it still works.
That's the way to do it. You're just talking to your best friend.
Yeah.
Right? You don't
yeah.
you don't have to write it all down before. You know, when you talk to your best friend, you don't have to take notes and then have somebody correct your grammar and then make a recording and make sure that you didn't do what I'm doing right now with this sentence and that it just came out perfectly as if it's going to be published.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You're just being there with somebody you love.
Very informal, very laid back. Just
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The way we want to be, just the way we want to be.
Yes, yes. So I
good.
Appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Tony. Take good care.
Yes, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Tony. Sherry, I love that part about imperfectly. And
uh-huh.
I think... ditching standards as frequently as I can has been a huge, enormous help in my life. This is it. This is my best in this moment. Great. Let's move on and see what's now.
Yes, exactly. Because when we love somebody, we do not expect them to be perfect. We think they are perfect.
So
whatever is going on, great, perfect, love it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There we are. All right.
Yes, exactly. Wonderful. Sherry, we are going to hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that we could live in a conversation about what is true, what is real, what is arising in life in the moment, instead of with the voices of karmic conditioning. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We now have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report finding refuge in my own voice, strengthening the awareness of the mentor, and experiencing the 6 weeks as transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply go to livingcompassion.org. Click on Practice to find 2017 programs and then Recording and Listening Training. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence this year with the support of Recording and Listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, that tied Tony's conversation together nicely, all about recording.
It sure did. Yeah. It's available to us. We can do it. Yep. We don't have to wait around for unconditional love. It's ours for the asking.
Yes, and as you've said many times, to me what's so helpful is that my karma is not spilled all over all my other relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it just
exactly
goes in the recorder, and the mentor hears it, and the mentor knows, and that's plenty.
There we are. Yeah.
Yes.
That's such a good point, Michael. That is such a good point. Saves my family and friends from dealing with the conditioning that came in and got attached to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's such a helpful way to frame it, rather than me or my conditioning. Yeah.
Hmm.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Carol from Fort Townsend. Hello, Carol. I am happy to be on the air. I had this feeling I was going to be, and then here I am. So that's good.
That's good.
Yeah, so the Project Joy assignment the other day about grace. So during the day, I had several experiences of, you know, saying thank you and feeling gratitude. And I thought, well, I don't know about this grace business. And then I thought, well, what the heck? I will try it. So I was looking at the sunset and saying thank you. And I thought, I'll just sit here and see what comes down the pike. And so then I had that feeling, you know, of love kind of beaming, being kind of washed in it. So that was really cool.
So you thought, well, there might be something to this.
There might be something to it, yeah. And to and that my experience was of inviting it. So, and it was there.
Uh-huh.
So
yes.
Yeah.
Well, now talk about a powerful point. So you open to it, you invite it, and there it is.
Yeah.
And that's how it is, isn't it? It's not a
oh, well, maybe it'll happen and maybe it won't. I don't know.
Yeah.
Gosh, I hope there's something there. No, it's there. Of course it's there. It is what's there. Right? All this other stuff is just stuff that's made up that gets in the way of what's really going on.
Right. It's really splendid to have that experience. It was kind of like eye-opening or mind-blowing or something like that. Oh, my God, it's right here. All I have to do is say, okay.
Right. And okay is so very simple to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love it.
Good. Yeah,
that's a great reminder. Thank you, Carol. That's
good
thank for
you.
All of us to keep in mind all the time, huh?
Yeah. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carol.
Short and sweet, huh?
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. Beautiful moment, and there it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. So short and sweet, I was surprised to be on already. This is Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Berkeley. Go back to the first conversation. I am, I think, heading into feeling under the weather, which is a health opportunity for me. And it's a challenge. So,
yeah.
I thought it would be good to call up and get some support.
It is hard, isn't it? It's difficult to kind of be cheerful, stay cheerful, because the voices are so invested in it being a very large negative that we need to really suffer with and struggle with. Yeah. And so, what do you do for yourself? How do you be there for her?
Well, one thing I've been doing is I created a special playlist for when I have a cold, and that I was experiencing the power of that today, because I was listening to that, and at one point it came in like, well, what part of what's so hard about this is you just feel really alone, you don't feel seen, it's like you're kind of off by yourself with this big thing. And then, the next recording was like, Laura, I'm here. I see you.
This would make people religious.
To just so perfectly...
hear what you need to hear. It feels magic, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. Something came in, and I think it's conditioning, because it was sort of like, this feels so senseless. Like, why is this happening? Why can't I figure it out? All that kind of stuff. And it was sort of like, well, I should try to create a different meaning around it or whatever. But was sort of seeing is that what I want to do? Because in a way I feel like there is a deeper meaning in the sense that I'm not allowed. It's like it forces me to get in touch with the identities that I'm identified with, and all the assumptions and beliefs about what my life's supposed to look like, and what all that stuff. But
And so there's all of that which you see, and then there's the opportunity to be with her, to take care of her, to
to not have opinions that are more important to you than she is.
Mm-hmm.
True?
Yeah. Yeah, I can kind of feel like, I can kind of feel that like resonate in my body, like, oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Go ahead.
It's sort of like that. The difference between like performing in my life or like doing my life right versus being, you know, being with her, being with, you know.
Yes. And I swear, Laura, that's, I mean, obviously I don't know this, so you probably shouldn't swear to things that you don't know. But, boy, that seems to be the deal.
Mm.
You know, that's the thing that we're up against karmically. What are you choosing over the human being?
Yeah.
And we just bang our heads against that and bang our heads against that until the answer is nothing.
Mm.
Nothing. There's just only compassion. That's it. And then it stops. I can't say things stop happening. It's just that it stops mattering.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I know you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm on that path. I certainly am banging my head against things. It's, you know,
uh-huh.
But I'm also having the experience of things shifting, you know, and,
yes.
You know, and that
yeah.
All of a sudden things that would get me every time, all of a sudden it's like, no, I'm not going down that. I'm not, you know. But.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just, right. There's more clarity. There's less interest in going with what ego suggests is important for us to go with. I don't want to have that conversation again. She has a cold. I want to take care of her.
Hmm. Yeah, for some reason,
I don't want to do that other stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, something I was thinking about, because there's sort of a story of like, oh, poor, you know, poor me. I got the, you know, this isn't life how this life is supposed to be. And I don't know. For some reason, I was thinking about a friend of mine who like died in a car accident when we were 19, and just thinking about, you know, was there like, I don't know. I guess it just sort of. There's a place
that's
of just
probably
like
not,
of,
that's probably not what they pictured as the perfect life either, right?
Right. Yeah. Just because it can feel like so such tunnel vision. Like I'm gonna have this life, and this is how it's, you know. But then all of a sudden you step back and you're like, wait. And there's just a poignancy, or there's just a I don't know. Somehow it's like comforting just to be like, no, this life is bigger than that. You know, than what the little tunnel that conditioning would have me go down, you know.
Yes, then. Yes. Oh, God, Laura, that is so important. I just wish we could all get that and remember that all the time. You know, this idea that we're owed something, you know, that my life should be the way the voices in my head say it should be. It should be easy. I should get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Things should go my way. And I mean, when we stop and look at it, it's like, that is insane. How could we possibly believe that, given the evidence around us?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And yet we'll fall into it, I suppose, because the voices are so persistent in putting forth that opinion, that's how it should be. And if we hear something often enough, of course we start believing that it's true. And then, as you say, we look at it beyond this little conversation in my head and think, whoa, you know, my thing about, you know, if life were fair, I'd be living in some hut somewhere with four or five kids I'm trying to feed.
Yeah.
If life were
yeah.
really fair. And so do I want life to be fair? No. No, 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 no.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. Thank
yeah.
you. It's good,
good
to have
keep in mind.
To be able to reach out to.
It is, isn't it? God, I'm glad we have each other to stick with. All right,
yes.
Well, I know you're going to take care of yourself, so keep up the good work, huh?
Okay, thank you.
All right, stay in touch. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. Sherry, what I was getting out of that conversation is I look at my life and I see the times when I'm identified with a certain tunnel vision of how I want my life to be. And what I've learned is that life has a better perspective and much better opportunities than
yes.
me focusing on what I want.
Yes, 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 exactly. And when we really get it, that the I who's focusing on what I want is ego, and ego is yes. actually not on our side, it's devoted to our suffering, we think, okay, I'm going to just let go of that and be in the, yes, thank you, I love you club, and see what life has in mind for me.
Yes, I've noticed it's a lot less stressful, and it's a
yes.
lot less pressure, and my only job is really to participate and show up and
yeah.
go with the
say
flow,
yes.
like the, say yes, like
mm-hmm.
the little ducky
mm-hmm.
who's floating down the river on the cover of
mm-hmm.
the book you were talking about this morning for Project Joy.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
yeah. And, you know, whistling along the stream as compared to that poor human
yes.
who's just, you know, wearing themselves
yeah.
out,
yeah.
having a miserable time.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. you know, the thing that is true about that is that we have no control over what's going to happen anyway. You know,
mm-hmm.
if tensing yep. up and being miserable actually gave us a perfect life, we would all say, yes, let's do that. But all it does is make us miserable. And we miss all of the good stuff that's there all the time.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very fun. And we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, this is Elise.
Well, hello, Elise.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
I didn't expect to be on, and I almost actually kind of hung up because I started to chicken out.
Oh, but he got you just in time.
You did.
All right. Well,
I,
people might be wondering why I'm so excited to hear your voice. And that is because is it okay if I say?
Yes, go ahead.
That,
thanks for asking.
Yeah, that when the last time we got together, you were leaving the monastery with a burst appendix. And so then it's, you know, the first step is, ooh, she made it. And then the second step is, and she's recovering. And then there's, oh, here she is. So it's very exciting.
Well, thank you. Oh, yes, here I am. And I've really been enjoying tuning into the radio show each week as I kind of navigate where to keep encouraging my practice to go after not being able to finish the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the conversation that goes and came up about that and when I can do that again. So I'm so really grateful that this is an opportunity.
I love that you're saying that. You know, the voices don't have you in a place of, I'm never going near there again. I know I only have one appendix. I know that can't happen again, but I'm still not going near that place. So I'm glad you're thinking in terms of coming back and giving it another go.
Thank you. I will be back. And I
good.
Just love the irony just to share, you know, with I think I have to write a little blog about it or something, just because the irony of being at a retreat that's called There's Nothing Wrong With You and having your appendix be perforated and end up in the ER in the hospital for a week. It's like there's something to that. There's some content there.
I got to cling to that notion. There is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong. Yes, all this is happening. There's nothing wrong. Yeah, it's trickier in some cases, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Something came up for me when I was listening as I was dropping my son off, and that's why I called in, was your comment about, you know, we don't expect the people that we love to be perfect. And I think it dropped in for me that I kind of do. I mean, I don't really, but I act like I do. And I push, you know, my son, or I did my partner in ways that kind of have that expectation. And I just wanted some feedback about how to work through that in a healthy way. Because,
well, let me ask you this. Do you have that going with you?
Yes, I definitely have it going with
me. Perfection? Yeah. So that's it, isn't it? Right there.
Yeah.
Right? Because if that's what you hear going on in your head, you know, if you're being held to those standards, then it's just kind of automatic that it's going to spill out onto everybody else.
Okay. So it's that combination of it's not good enough, I'm not good enough, or I'm not doing it well enough, which is the big story with my son in particular. So then I'm like, well, why are you expecting him to, you know, be able to do this? Just lighten up. And it's because I'm not able to lighten up about myself.
Don't you think? Don't you suspect?
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, the place that gets back to is, you know, if you're attempting to do something that's difficult, do you do better when somebody is compassionate, kind, loving, supportive, and encouraging, or when somebody is critical, judgmental, pushy, and difficult?
That's a good. When they're compassionate and loving and helpful, like when it's a team approach.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that there isn't the, we could use words that we don't really like to use in practice, but they work. It doesn't mean we don't have the assumption or the expectation that that the person, ourselves or our children or partners or whomever, will do the best that they can do. Right? So if we think about, especially with a child, to be unconditionally loving and supportive doesn't mean you don't have to do your homework, or you don't have to get to school on time, or you don't have to, you know, eat your vegetables, or whatever it is that you know are the things that are good for your child.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you're going to hold the line on that, but it's not instead of being unconditionally loving. So that the message comes through to ourselves and to our children and everybody else that I am this way because I love you.
Okay. Yeah. That really resonates.
Yeah. So as children grow up, that those two things are really put together. Kind of, we could say high standards in terms of you're always doing the best that you can do comes with unconditional love. That the way we encourage ourselves is by being unconditionally loving.
Okay.
Yeah? Because otherwise, you know, both sides of the continuum are ego. There's the, you need to do more, you need to do better, you need to do more, that's not good enough. And then on the other side, oh, give it up. You know, just lie on the couch. What's the point? Right? And
right,
so the indulging, the cruelty and the indulging are two sides of the ego.
Okay. The two extremes.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That really helps to unpack that.
Good. Good.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Because, you know, Elise, you know you're doing the best you can do all the time. You know you are. When you realize that you could be doing better, you do better.
Mm.
Isn't that
yeah.
true? That you, in fact, probably, you know, over the top with meeting standards and holding yourself to standards and the kinds of expectations you have for yourself. So then when the voice comes in and says, that's not good enough, you're not doing that well enough,
mm-hmm.
that's a place where we really do need to take a stand for ourselves and just say, that is absolutely not true. It might not have gone the way I wanted it to, but that's not the same as I'm not doing the best I can do.
Okay. I can say that.
Yeah.
That really helps clarify. Thank you. This has been, it's been a big thing lately, so that I can be mindful about that at each time that it's coming up and say, wait a second.
Yep. And do some recordings.
Yes.
Right? Do some recordings so you don't forget. And, you know, with our children, again, there's the parent-child recording and listening, you know, with our children to bring them into that conversation too so that they
yeah.
they really do understand where that stuff comes from in society and how people really believe that kind of stuff. But this is where we want to come from. This is how I'm learning to treat myself. And I'm learning to be that way with you. And I, you know, I hope you're learning to be that way with you, depending on how old our kids are, of course. Yeah.
What a great conversation.
Good. Thank you, Elise.
Thank you.
Good to hear
Thank
your voice.
Thank you, Sherry. Yours too.
Right. Take
Thank
care.
You. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Elise. Sherry, we have 3 minutes to the hour. Did you want to talk with another caller, or shall we?
I don't think we, you know, we always have that idea that it'll work, and it never does for some darn reason. So, yeah, so maybe we just say this is good and take ourselves to meditation and group at center and like that and do this again next week if good Lord's willing.
Yes, that sounds like a wonderful idea. And I'm so grateful you are here with us tonight and all of Sangha. It was a wonderful experience for me.
Yeah, for me too, Michael. So thank you for everything. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Thank you, Sherry.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.